We learned that the word Ha'il, according to the Ramban, is the ability to gather individuals together to create a group that is united, and that group is called Ha'il. Like an army. Army is called Hayalim because they are individuals that come together and they unite for a purpose. This is called Hayil according to the Ramban. We explained that one of the ways that this comes into reality by a great person or a great woman is that when they're able to take all their individual kohot, their individual strengths, or their individual body, hearts, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and they're able to take them and put them together and fully focus their energy on what they're doing, instead of being splintered all over the place. A person has many things in their mind, and they have many things in their life, and they have many emotions. And if they're allowing all of those things to come into play with whatever they do, they become very weak. So a person who is an Ish Ha'il or an Eshet Ha'il is able to take all their energy and put it all into what they're doing. Unite their forces together, that their mind for the moment is single. All of the energy is being gathered to do the task that is at hand. When they finish that one, they move on to the next one. If a person is able to do that, as we learned, they become a very powerful person. That's one aspect of Ha'il. Gathering our singular kohot that exists within us and putting them all into what we're doing. There's another aspect of Ha'il that applies to the Eshet Ha'il that also comes from gathering. But here, instead of gathering the powers within herself, it's gathering and uniting the people in her home to create a home that is Ha'il, which would require a tremendous amount of investment to take the individuals in the home who have different things going on in their life, that have a different mindset, they have different desires, namely a husband and wife, number one, to somehow put them together to be united. When they are children, to bring them along, and they should have a united home, a home of shalom, we call that shalom bayit. And of course, as the home grows, and new members enter, new children, in-laws, grandchildren, and on and on and on. The ability to create a Ha'il, to create a united home with all the individual parts coming together, that would be a tremendous accomplishment of an Eshet Ha'il. She's able to take the singulars, the singles in the home, and bring them together to become a united team. This is what we call shalom bayit. Unfortunately, the word shalom is one of those words that most people do not know what the word actually means. It happens a lot, both in Hebrew and English, where we have our own definition of something and we strive to reach the definition that we decided or that the society has somehow adopted for that word. And we miss the goal of something so beautiful like shalom. Most people, they translate shalom as peace. Unfortunately, they don't know the word peace means either. So it doesn't really help. And honestly, I don't know myself what the word peace means. So I can tell you what the word shalom means. In people's minds, shalom is usually used when describing a group, two or more individuals that are not in conflict. Meaning, if Israel and Egypt are not in a war, they're living b'shalom. So long as we're not fighting, so we have shalom. In fact, they say there's shalom between these two countries. However, that is not the definition of shalom. While a lack of conflict is very admirable, it's very good, it's a good start, that is not shalom. A home where the people in it are not in conflict, they're not fighting with each other, it's a very nice start, but it's not shalom. Let's not fool ourselves that we live in a peaceful home because we do not raise our voice, which again is a very big accomplishment on its own, that people in a home are not fighting with each other and yelling at each other. It's a beautiful thing. Definitely one of the goals to strive for. But it's not shalom. That's not what we mean when we speak about shalom bayit. So it's important to know, what is the word shalom? First of all, before we say what the word means, it's important to know the value of shalom. Sometimes a person needs a little hizuk, needs strength to put in the effort to understand something. Meaning if you tell me about a subject that I don't care too much about, or I don't see the value of that subject in my life, so my listening ear will put in a 5% effort, 10%, 20%. I'm listening. Do I care that much? Maybe not. But the more valuable and the more essential the information that's being shared is to my life, I will be able to put in much more energy just in listening, in trying to understand and comprehend and figure out how it is going to be put into use. That's why it's always good to know the value of what I'm doing so that I can put in the full effort and getting the most out of what I'm doing. Very often, we either don't know the value of something, or even when we know the value, but it's not nearly the value that it is. So the more the value, the more investment. You don't have to go further than a very famous statement of Hazal said by Rabbi Shimon ben Halafta. He says an astounding statement, something that we need to sit and think about. He says, Lo matza kadosh baruch hu. He says, Hashem couldn't find. It's interesting, Hashem looks for things. He didn't find means he was looking. He tried. Hashem was looking. What was he looking for? He was looking for a kli. He was looking for a vessel. What kind of vessel? We have plenty of vessels. We have cups. We have plates. We have bowls. We have pots. What vessel was he looking for? He was looking for a very special vessel. That's mahzik beracha. A vessel that's able to hold blessing. We know cups are able to hold drinks. Bowls are able to hold cereal. Plates are able to hold pasta. So they are kelim that are able to hold certain things inside of them. You take liquid, you take water, you take wine, and you put it inside a plate, it's not going to hold it. It's going to spill. Because a plate, although it's a keli, it can't hold water. It can hold spaghetti, but it can't hold water. So not every keli is able to hold everything. So Hashem was looking for a keli that can hold beracha. First of all, that's a hidush in itself. Whoever thought that beracha, when someone is sent a blessing, we have many blessings in life. Blessings are life itself. Health is a blessing. Getting married is a blessing. Having children is a blessing. Having parnasah is a blessing. Many, many blessings in life. Whoever thought that blessings need a vessel? It's a hidush. We know that water needs a vessel to hold it. Nobody ever thought they could drink water without a vessel. But most people in life never thought for a minute when they're asking for beracha, when they pray, Sim Shalom Tova Ubracha, when they ask Hashem for brachot that they so desperately need. No one ever imagined that all of their requests are a waste of time unless they had a vessel that's able to hold them. It's like asking for the fine wines of the world because you love wine, but you forgot to ask for the bottle. Imagine going to a winery and you saw wine that you wanted to bring back home, but you're not willing to pay for the bottle. If you're not willing to pay for the bottle, or you don't have a bottle, you're not getting the wine. It goes to waste. The wine is there. It does nothing for you. In fact, it's worse than you started because it gets you dirty. Your hands become full of wine. Your clothing becomes dirty with wine. Stains that have a hard time to come out. And you end up coming out worse than you started. They gave you wine, good wine. But without a bottle, not only do you not enjoy it, it comes back to hurt you. So right away, it's a hidush to first even realize that all the berachot of life are not only wasted, but sometimes can become the enemy of the person if they don't have the vessel to hold them. Very big hidush. People are praying for beracha, 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 and they forget that they have to buy a bottle first to contain the berachot. So what happens in life is they get all the berachot and they're still complaining and they're still empty. And in fact, the berachot many times become the reason of their failure. So this is a very big lesson that Hashem is looking for a vessel. That's a hidush right there. Hashem is teaching us this, that I'm looking for a vessel so that we can understand the value of the vessel first. Before we know what the vessel is, you have to know why you need it. Imagine a person is looking for a vessel, but doesn't know why he needs it. How much value is there in that search? What does it matter? You find the vessel, you don't find the vessel. I don't need it. So Hashem says, I'm looking for a vessel. That means all the berachot I could send you are meaningless and maybe hurtful if you don't have a vessel to house them. This is the biggest thing a person has to pray for before they even pray for beracha. They got to get the bottle first. So Hashem says, I looked and looked and looked. And if Hashem looks, he's got a very good eye. And he knows everywhere to look. He can't hide anything from the Creator. He says, I went to this item and I saw not a vessel. I tried this item, not a vessel. I went to everything around the world that I created. Lo matzah. Lo matzah is a staggering statement. Lo matzah. That means there's nothing. If God can't find it, don't waste your time. Why does it say that God was looking? Why don't you just say straight that this item is what holds blessing? Because Hashem knows in the nature of a human being is to look and look and look and look for the beracha in his life. People, their whole life, they're looking for beracha. From little, they're looking for berachot. They're looking for the blessings of life. They're always missing that thing that's going to bring them more satisfaction. They're looking for more and more and more. And their whole life, they're looking. Hashem says to you and I already did the search. Don't waste your time. If you're looking to be blessed in your life, take my word for it. You're wasting your time to look because I already did the search for you. And the search came out with only one result. Sometimes you do a search, you have 1,000 results. This one, you have one. So stop wasting your time and stop looking for things in life that are going to bring you a blessing. I know you might think you're going to find it in that item, or you're going to find it in that thing, in that trip, in that conversation, in that relationship. I know you're thinking you're going to find it here and there. The next deal that you make, the next building you sell, the next metziah that you find in the market to buy. I know what you're thinking. Hashem says, don't waste your time. I did the search for you. There is only one answer to a world of beracha. Not two, not three. So if you're looking anywhere else, you're wasting your time. It's a very big statement. Before we even know what the answer is, we have to realize what is going on here. Hashem says, I looked and looked. All the blessings that I send you in life. Every person has so much beracha in their life. Of course, we always want more. And it's good to ask for more. But already we have a lot of beracha in life. Tremendous amount of beracha. Every body part is a beracha. Everything that we have in our life is a beracha. Hashem says, listen to me. Go find the vessel that's going to hold it. And that vessel, says Rabbi Shimon ben Halafta, is called Shalom. Shalom is not a bracha. Shalom is not a blessing. Shalom is the bottle you need to bring into your life that the blessings should be able to have a home. They should be realized. They should be enjoyed. They should be taken advantage of. Hashem says, I cannot give you shalom. I can send you the berachot. But shalom is what you have to bring to the table. I will send you beracha. I'm constantly sending you beracha. Imagine a person is getting checks in the mail every week. Big fat checks from his father. His son sending him big checks. And after 5 years, he has all kinds of complaints. Tells his father, not once did you send me a dollar. You see, I'm struggling. Not one time you send me something that I can enjoy, a gift. Something. Father said, you kidding me? Look in your mailbox.
No.
Problem is, his mailbox wasn't operating. Someone was coming. Someone was coming, wasn't locked the mailbox. Someone would come every day and take the check. There's no mailbox. Something wrong with his mailbox. No keli to receive the checks. Or he's putting money in the wrong bank account. Whatever it might be. Without a keli, you don't get the blessings. We're all blessed in life. If right now a person feels that he is lacking the things that make people happy, he should realize he's missing the mailbox. He's missing something that's not receiving the berachot. The berachot are coming, but he doesn't have the ability to receive them. Says Rabbi Shomer Halafta, this keli is none other than shalom. You must have shalom in your life in order to be able to take advantage of the berachot of life. And there is no other replacement. If you have conflict in your life, if you're fighting with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your siblings, with your partners, with your business associates. So you should know that you're missing something very, very large. Something very big in your life. That's not allowing the berachot of life to be enjoyed. But we still don't know what the word shalom means. Again, conflict obviously is not shalom. But shalom is not just lack of conflict. Shalom is something much greater than that. And has a much deeper meaning. And actually begins with the person himself. Usually when we speak of shalom, we speak about shalom with people. But in reality, when we learn the true definition of shalom, we realize that it's something very, very internal in the person themselves. That's where it all begins. Like most things in life, they start with the person himself. Before I get to that, just want to remind everybody how many times in our day do we mention shalom? Every Amidah that we pray, after all the requests, we know that Amidah is made up of three parts. The beginning is we praise Hashem. Then we ask Him for all of our needs. Then we thank Him. And then we end off with Sim Shalom, a beracha that we ask Hashem to help us find shalom in our lives. The obvious question is that beracha seems to be part of the middle berachot. It's a request. What is it doing in the end of the Amidah? But it seems, just on a very simple level, that the message of shalom in the end is that everything that you did in this Amidah, whether it's the praise and all that you're supposed to get out of it, whether it's the requests, and Hashem could fulfill all your requests. Imagine a guy walked out of the Amidah, his praise of Hashem brought him to a new level. Hashem answered all his requests in the middle. He was tremendously thankful to Hashem. In his Hoda'ah and Modim, comes the Amidah and says, if you don't have shalom in your life, You can live a life with shevach. You can have all the things that you're missing. You can have even gratitude. You can be a grateful person. If you don't have shalom, you have nothing. So that's why we end off seeing shalom. Because to put everything in the Amidah together, that it should be useful, the Amidah is all berachot. To live a life of praise and a life of gratitude and a life where you have all your needs. You have refuah, you have beracha, you have chokhmah, you got it all. Beautiful. Both physical, spiritual. The end of the Amidah says, wait, hold on. Now I need the kli. I need the vessel to hold everything that just happened. So every time we finish the Amidah, Sim shalom. Oseh shalom bimromav. Every Amidah ends with shalom. Every Birkat Amazon ends with shalom. Every Birkat Kohanim ends with shalom. The Talmud ends with shalom. In fact, shalom is one of the names of Hashem. And it's greater than other descriptions. For example, Rahum. Hashem is compassionate. It's also a name of Hashem. But not as great as shalom. Our rabbis tell us, while compassionate is describing Hashem, but shalom defines His essence. So shalom is a greater name of God.
Really?
The pasuk says in Yeshaya, Yotzer or Ubore Hoshech. Hashem formed the light and He created darkness. So, light, darkness. Hashem created light and its opposite. Listen to the next line. Oseh shalom, Hashem continues the pasuk in Yeshaya. Listen to this pasuk. It should wake up everyone who is sleeping. He says, Oseh shalom, Hashem makes shalom, ubore ra, and He creates bad. Ra, evil, bad. Ra is the worst description of anything. Listen to this. So we're describing one item and its opposite. Yotzer or, what's the opposite of or, of light? Hoshech, darkness. Then he says, Oseh shalom. Okay, what's the opposite of shalom? So I would have said the opposite of shalom is conflict. Opposite of shalom, when people don't get along. No, no. The opposite of shalom, ra. Ra. Evil, terrible. They couldn't find, the Navi could not find a proper opposite of shalom. What happens when there's no shalom in your life? Ra. You might say, no, I'm good. Have a good life. I'm just fighting with my brother. That's it. No, I'm good. Just we have a little conflict in the business, but we're good. A person might, that's why the Navi has to be very careful. He wants to tell you, if you don't have shalom, don't think you have good things, just you're missing one department in your life is lacking. That's what you might say. Okay, in one area, not doing that great. But everything else is fine. No, no, no. Says the Navi, you don't have shalom in your life, you have ra in your life. Very big. When we go to sleep at night, we say, Hashkivenu Avinu. Please, Hashem, we want to have a good sleep. We want to go to sleep quickly. We want to be able to rest in our sleep. A good sleep is tremendously healthy for the person. Person has a hard time sleeping. It's very painful and it also makes a very big difference in the following day. They're very tired. Sleeping is a very important part of a person's success.
So we say, Hashem, please, Hashkivenu Avinu. Please, Hashem, we should sleep good. But we don't stop with that. We say, Hashkivenu Avinu Leshalom. That we should sleep for Shalom. It sounds like sleeping, a good sleep without Shalom is lacking something. And then we say, Ve'amidenu Malkenu Lehayim Tovim Ulshalom. Meaning when we, in the morning, wake us up. Just waking up is the biggest beracha, but it seems that even waking up alone is not enough unless it's coming with shalom. Hamachazir neshamot livgarim metim. We say in the morning how Hashem gives the neshama back to a person, to a dead body. Person goes to sleep. He gives his neshama to Hashem. And now the biggest chesed Hashem does for him is give it back to him in the morning. But even that beracha of getting our neshama back needs shalom for it to be a beracha that's realized. Ha'amidenu doesn't only mean to wake us up, but it also means that we should stand, that we should walk around. Hayim tovim, we should have a good life. We should be able to do all the things that we need to do. But all of that without shalom, it's just not worth. The request has to come with shalom. Hashkivenu avinu leshalom. That we should sleep, a good sleep, but it should be with shalom. And we should wake up in the morning, ha'amidenu, and should get up, and we should move around, and do what we need to do. But all of it with shalom.
The power of shalom is unbelievable. Problem is, I think most of us don't realize how big this keli is. But we should be reminded constantly by these tefillot. Who could forget the words of Perkei Avot? Heve mitalmidav shel Aharon. We are warned to be the talmidim of Aharon. Very interesting words, by the way. We're not told to be the Talmidim Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, we should be, but it's not one of the Mishnayot or Perkei Avot. Don't say, Heve mitalmidav. So anybody else? But this one, Heve mitalmidav shel Aharon. Become a student of Aharon. A student doesn't mean someone who learns. Many people, they call themselves, oh, I'm the student of this rabbi. There you go. Someone once told somebody, his friend, that he is my student. I told him, please, do not tell him you're my student. Make me look bad. A student is not just someone who learns from his rabbi. That's not a student. You don't have to be a student to learn. You come to a shiur, you have to be a student. Just because you sit in a shiur, you became a student. You don't have to be a student to learn from somebody. A student is someone who is dedicating his life to emulate his rabbi and his actions. That's called a talmid. A talmid is not someone who learns from somebody. A talmid is someone who is constantly looking to emulate. So what am I doing wrong in my life? Because I see my rabbi is doing this. I don't do that. Why am I not doing that? Why is he doing that? And I don't. Most people today say, no, I'm only a talmid. What my rabbi does, he's the rabbi. I'm a talmid. That's why I don't do what my rabbi does. I'm the talmid. He's the rabbi. I only learn from him. Could you imagine? That's the American understanding of a rabbi-talmid relationship. The rabbi is up there. And the talmid, by definition, is dumb way down there. And, oh, they tell him, but your rabbi does this. Yeah, but he's the rabbi. And your rabbi doesn't do this. Oh, well, he's the rabbi. I'm not a rabbi. I'm a talmid. Thank you. That is a warped understanding of the word talmid. The word talmid, by definition, means that you are committed to the teachings and the example of your rabbi. That's what it means. Heve mitalmidav shel Aharon. Doesn't mean to learn from him. It means to be a Talmid of his. And what does it mean to be a Talmid? It means to emulate him, to follow him, to match yourself with him, to see if you're successful based on this relationship and seeing if you're there or not by looking at him. Heve mitalmidav shel Aharon. Ohev shalom. Oh, that's what we're doing today. Ohev shalom. Ohev shalom means, first, you have to appreciate shalom. Before, because shalom is very difficult to accomplish. Shalom, when we learn what it is, it's a very big task. Don't think this keli is very easy to bring about in a person's life. Well, no, it's gonna be quite a task to live a life of shalom. And therefore, the first thing you need to be able to acquire shalom in your life is you need an ahava for it. You have to love it. You have to appreciate it. The reason why we work so hard for money is because we love money. If you didn't love money so much, you wouldn't travel months out of the year. You wouldn't take so much of your energy and put it into money. Why do you do that? Because you love it. The love of money comes before all that great effort is invested. And the Mishnah says you want to be like Aharon. The first thing Aharon had, he was an Ohev Shalom. He was someone who appreciated the value of shalom and therefore he loved it, which is what we're doing today. Today's shiur is not about what is shalom. It's not about how to get shalom. It's first about appreciating and loving shalom. That's why Hashem says, Lo matzah, I couldn't find a vessel. What he's trying to tell you is you have to love this. You have to appreciate this. How was Aharon able to live such a life? Where the Pasuk says on him and his brother Moshe, Matov u'manna'im shevet ahim gam yahad. How good, how sweet it is when brothers live together like him and his brother Moshe. Beautiful. So much blessing, so much sweetness in life came from that relationship. Don't think, says the Mishnah Perkei Avot, don't think that this was just a light effort by Aharon and Moshe. The first thing they needed was Ohev Shalom. They first had to appreciate the value because the investment was very big. And then, Verodef Shalom. Then you have to chase Shalom. Chase it, because usually the relationships of life are such that Shalom usually runs away from you. Shalom is not the default setting, whether it's within the person or with his relationships. In fact, because people are individuals, and Hashem created every person different. We look different. We sound different. We have different ideas of what we consider comfortable or enjoyable. Each person is uniquely different. That's the way Hashem made us. So in such a world, shalom is not the default. The default is that we're individuals that don't have the ability to be b'shalom with the people around us. That's the norm. That's why you have to be Rodef Shalom. You have to chase Shalom. The default setting on relationships is anti-Shalom, is the opposite of Shalom. So you have to go and run after it. To run after it, you need to first appreciate it. What a beautiful Mishnah. Listen to this pasuk in Parashat Bechukotai. Torah promises in Parashat Vechukotai, famous words of blessings. Im Vechukotai Telechu, Hashem says, if you follow, if you learn my Torah, Ve'et Mitzvotai Tishmeru, you keep my mitzvot. Ve'natati Gishmechem Be'aitam, I'm going to give you rain on time. You're going to have parnasa. Ve'natena ha'aretz yevula. You're going to eat. You're going to eat healthy. Ve'ez ha'sadeh yitem periyo. And many, many more berachot. Beautiful berachot. Ve'natati shalom ba'aretz. Pasuk says, and I'm going to bring shalom into your life. Comes Rashi Alav HaShalom and says, Shemet Omru, why is this Berachah of Shalom after the first Berachot? Why is not in the beginning? Shemet Omru, Hare Ma'achal, hey, you promised us food. Ve'are Mishte, you promised us drink. You promised us food, va'achaltem lachmechem lasova, such food that by eating even a little you'll be satisfied. Vishaptem labetach be'arzechem, you'll live with security. There will not be wars. There will not be enemies. Beautiful. Says, and then it says, ve'natati shalom ba'aretz. If shalom is so big, should have been the first one. Why first? You're giving me food and drink. It seems to bother Rashid. So he says, Shemet Omru, because you might say, Hare Ma'achal Ve'are Mishter. You know, you gave us food, you gave us drink, you gave us health, you gave us security. Im En Shalom. And klum. But if there's no shalom, there is nothing. Talmud lomar. That's why the pasuk says, "Venatati shalom ba'aretz," which means he listed the first ones first to tell you all those things. If I don't give you shalom, and klum. Without shalom, the first few berachot are worthless. Because you're listening. Ma'achal? Klum. Mishteh? Klum. Nothing. Oh. Ve'natati shalom ba'aretz. Comes Rashi and says, Mikan. She'ashalom shakul keneged akol. Hashem can send you all the blessings of life. But shalom weighs equally to all of them. Anyway, this is the first step of bringing shalom into our lives. If the Eshet Chayil is a woman who's able to bring single people, single energies together to become one. She's going to first have to be in the Ohev Shalom. She has to realize that Shalom quality is the key to success in life. That goes for the woman, it goes for the man, it goes for every person. Ohev shalom. That is the number one step, to appreciate that without shalom in our lives, we have nothing. Even if it looks like we have a lot, we have klum, zero. Now our job is to understand, what does the word shalom mean? Be'ezrat Hashem, will continue tomorrow.